Amen. You can be seated. Happy Mother's Day. I guess you guys shouldn't say it back to me. That was weird. I was like, wait a minute, why aren't they talking back? But that would be weird. No, we're super grateful for mothers today. We know that this is a day of celebration. It also can be a hard day for moms for many reasons, for ladies, for just all of us. And so if today's a tough day for you, man, we've been praying for you, and we know that it can be a heavy day for some. But we are grateful for the ladies here today. As we prepared for Mother's Day and celebrating the special ladies in our lives, over the last few weeks, we've been asking kids and teenagers and adults about their moms, and I wanted to share some of those answers with you today. You guys want to hear some of those? All right. Here we go. Here's the question that I asked. I said, what do you enjoy about your mom? And I'm going to read a few of them. I won't be able to hit all of them. By the way, if you go to the back table, all the answers that were turned in are back there. What do you enjoy about your mom? I enjoy cooking with her. I enjoy going on trips. I enjoy playing Mario Kart and mini golf. Two different kids. Mario Kart, and I love playing mini golf. I love cuddling and drawing and baking with her. I enjoy watching movies. I enjoy going shopping and shopping and shopping and shopping. I enjoy spending time with her and making jokes with her. I enjoy doing nothing with my mom. Just spending time together, drinking coffee, and catching up is the best. With less opportunities, one son said, to see my mom now that I'm living in Texas, I enjoy the opportunities to get to travel with my mom, as well as the visits she and my dad make to Austin when we get the chance to spend time together, explore some of the more interesting excursions Central Texas has to offer. I think you guys will know who this next one is. I enjoy watching British shows with my mom. And I enjoy Sunday dinners. I don't know who that is, but she's... You're watching with us online today, and so there you go. What makes your mom happy? Let's see if they get them right, moms. When I have a good day at school, when we give her cards and snuggle with her, when we give her hugs and come home, when she gets to come home from work. Cheesecakes makes my mom happy. When I help around the house, and all mom said, amen. Come on, that was weak, y'all, okay? When I clean my room or clean the whole house. What makes my mom happy? I do not know. These are anonymous, y'all, okay? Lego blocks make my mom happy. Daddy makes my mom happy. When I do chores without her asking her. When I help with my baby brother. My dad makes her happy. When she has coffee and when she is free to spend a good vacation with family. All right. Cleaning, organizing. I don't think they understood the question. Cleaning and organizing make my mom happy. Her grandchildren make her happy. And when all of her family is there. Okay, this is going to be a good one, church. What frustrates your mom? I think we might read all of them. Amen? All right. I'm learning a little bit about you ladies out here, by the way. What frustrates your mom? When we lie. When we throw stuff. When we are mean and don't follow directions. When we don't listen. When we're rude or talk back, when I don't do my homework, when I lock the door to my room, when I'm on my phone and not cleaning my room, her husband. That was not my wife, just want you to know that. And her daughter frustrate my mom. When I get in trouble, when we don't listen, when I cry, back talking, when she does not get enough sleep. And again, all moms say, amen. When we don't listen, when we get in trouble, when our cats break things and when I make a mess. Her children can frustrate her. When there's no communication or when there's too much going on at once, Tucson drivers frustrates my moms. My sass is definitely a point of frustration from my mom. I can't tell you who that's from, but he lives in Texas. When she sees her kids struggling or if we leave a mess at her house, when she sees her kids struggling, I already said that one, an unclean living space when people don't text her back. What does your mom do? I'm just going to read. This is our message for today. What does your mom do that's silly? She makes us laugh when we're trying to take pictures. She sings silly songs and dances. She tickles me. Mommy does nothing silly. Jumping up and down. I know who this is. Jumping up and down while playing Donkey Kong on the Nintendo. She tells weird jokes sometimes. Most moms do, kids. They're not as good as dad jokes. She remakes our inside jokes. She jokes around. She talks in silly voices, but I like it. She does silly noises. Her laugh is silly. I laugh at it. She does cool tricks. She talks to me in silly voices and reads silly stories. She dances like Jesus. She plays with us and scares us, and she says, "What up, dog?" The way she laughs is funny. Mom likes to make up random songs inspired by my brother's TV shows, which she loves. She asks a lot of questions before you finish telling her the story. My mom likes to joke around and have a silly sense of humor. For years, every morning at the breakfast table, we would make the same scowl at each other before eating. It became our morning tradition. My mom sings at the top of her lungs and dances like no one is watching, but we are. Her dances are one for the taking. She tries to dance. Why do you love your mom? Because she reads us stories. She takes care of us. She loves us. She's great. She's beautiful. Because she loves me and tries to do what's best for me. She takes good care of me because she's my mom. She's funny, lovable, cuddly, nice, and she helps people. She cares for me and brings me happiness. She's nice. She takes good care of me. She plays with me. She is sweet, and I love her. I love her because she cares for us and knows what's best for us, because we have to love everyone. That's a great answer. Because of her hugs and kisses, because she cares for me and helps me when I need help, because she gave me life. It's a good reason. Because she's an inspiration to my life as an intellectual or intelligent, beautiful person to whom I look to as a role model. She's helped me build my personality and helped me create the relationship that I hold dear today. She's the best woman I know. Her love, devotion, and faithfulness to our family is amazing. She's the most giving one I know. I love my mom because of the love she shows me. There's no challenge or problem I couldn't come to my mom with. She's the strongest woman I know, selfless, and loves hard. She loves me unconditionally, supports me through everything. She's been my biggest supporter in life. How's your mom impacted you? It's good to read these, isn't it? It's good to read them and just think about your own mom. She teaches me. She cooks for me. She teaches me to be better. She gives me all the stuff I need. She made it possible for me to go to be homeschooled, sing in a chorus, and play piano. She taught me how to read and drive. By the way, that was not by a person that is driving age, just so you know. She has impacted my life so much, I couldn't possibly answer that question. How she impacted your life? She makes me have better facial hygiene. She brought me into the world, and she can take you out. Oh, wait, that's not in here, right? And she's always finding a way to cheer me up, and it leads me to help other people. She helps me with cursive. She helps me in stressful times. She taught me Spanish. Again, that person cannot speak Spanish. She taught me the ABCs and how to make coffee. That was a 3-year-old, by the way. She taught me how to ride my bike. We could go on and on and on. What would you tell God if you were face-to-face with God? What would you tell God? How would you thank him for your mom? Thanks for giving me a mom that loves me, that protects me, a mom that is brave. Thanks for giving me a mom that spends time with me. I don't understand this question because we can tell God thank you for our mothers. Well, do it anyways. Thank you, God, for giving me this type of mom. She's the perfect match. We saw that over and over again. She's perfect for me. She's the perfect match. If I could thank God for my mom in person, I would thank him for placing me a home with a mom that cares about me, my passions, endeavors, and supports me in those always. I would say thanks for giving me the strongest, toughest mom out there who loves her family more than anything. Thanks for a mom who's exactly what I needed, a little rough around the edges, but when we need to be, she's got the love and the care she provides for me, has blessed me beyond anything I can imagine. Again, I couldn't give every bit of them. But they're back there on that back table. And so moms, go take a look at those and be blessed by that. Throughout God's word, we see women who have been used by God in some amazing ways. We see moms and grandmas and spiritual moms, mothers who dedicated their children to the Lord, moms who prayed for and made sacrifices for their children. We see moms who pour into the lives of the next generation and teach them scripture and how to follow Jesus and follow the Lord. We see grandmas who stepped in to help support and teach their grandchildren how to walk with God in church. We see women who are not in the family. They're not biological moms, but they step in as spiritual moms and point that next generation to Jesus and help them walk with the Lord and live an example for them. And so today, guys, we celebrate our ladies. We celebrate all moms. We honor and celebrate moms, foster moms, grandmas, great-grandmas, spiritual moms, and we want to celebrate you today and let you know that we value you, we love you, and we thank God for you. There is a gift for you, moms, at the end of the service on your way out, and so we want to give that to you, so make sure you grab that. Today, as we look to God's Word, we're going to look at a passage that is speaking to all of us. So men, you guys can't check out, okay? You got to follow along. But it's fitting for us today on Mother's Day because moms and spiritual moms play an important role in what we're going to read and learn about today. As parents, as moms, as dads, but as parents, we have a unique responsibility to teach an example and pass on the gospel and God's Word and our walk with the Lord with the children God has entrusted to us. As a church even, and then even as spiritual parents, there's a responsibility to teach God's Word and the gospel to the next generation. Church, when we look at our young people today, our culture looks at children different today. And we need to know what God's Word says about children. Psalm 123 says that children are a gift from the Lord. They're a blessing and a reward. Church, they are not a nuisance. They don't get in the way of your life plans, church. They're not just someone or something that gets in the way of what we want to do. They are a blessing from the Lord. Proverbs 29 says that they can give delight to your hearts. Jesus showed us throughout his earthly ministry that he loves and values children beginning in the womb, throughout their childhood, throughout their entire life. And so as we follow and trust Jesus, we too must love and value children from the beginning, all the way in the womb, throughout their life, church. Amen. And we also see in Scripture that we as parents have a unique responsibility to help our kids know and walk with the Lord. And the church has that responsibility. Ladies and gentlemen, the world is doing everything they can to pour its worldly values and ideas and pursuits and ideology into the life of the next generation. But God says that parents first and foremost, but also families, spiritual parents, and the church have a God-given privilege and responsibility to point the next generation to Jesus, to help them know and love and follow him as Lord of our lives. Church, the culture that we are living in right now, we need to know how God views children. Amen? Not just children, how he views mothers. I want to challenge you. This is free. It's not in my notes. With the news that we received this last week, church, we have a responsibility. The Bible says that we are to love, right? That we're to walk alongside. We are to encourage, right? We are to support these. So this isn't just, we're not just pro-birth, church. It's pro-life from the womb to the tomb. Amen, church? And so, church, you and I, all of us have a responsibility to step up and serve families and moms in ways that we never have before. Are you with me, church? So there are going to be people where the news that came out is troubling for them, and we pray for them, and we listen to them, and we love them. Amen? I think you guys know where we stand on that. In our passage today, Psalm chapter 78, open your Bibles, your Bible apps. Psalm chapter 78, and this passage tells us what we're to do as godly parents, and it tells us what we're to do as the church and as Christians as we pour into children and the next generation. And in this passage, we're going to see four things, guys, four things that should be evident in your life, in your homes, and then three things that can happen with our kids in the next generation when we trust God in his word in this area. Would you guys stand with me? We're going to honor God by reading his word. Psalm chapter 78. Here's what God's word says. My people, hear my instruction. Listen to the words from my mouth. I will declare wise sayings. I will speak mysteries from the past, things we have heard and known and that our ancestors have passed down to us. We will not hide them from their children, but will tell a future generation the praiseworthy acts of the Lord, his might and the wondrous works he has performed. He established a testimony in Jacob and set up a new law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children so that the future generation, children yet to be born, might know. They were to rise and to tell the children so that they might put their confidence in God and not forget God's works, but keep his commands. Then they would not be like their ancestors or their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not loyal and whose spirit was not faithful to God. Let's pray, church. Father, we come to you on a very, very, very special day. God, I think about women, moms, grandmas, foster moms, spiritual moms, they are our heroes. They do what I could never do. And so I'm grateful for my wife, my mother-in-law, my mom, my grandparents. God, I pray, Lord, that if we have a mom in here today or we're married to a mom, that we would just lift them up to you today and thank you for them because of how special they are. We pray, Lord, that they feel honored and just encouraged today. God, we pray for our nation today. As we talk about motherhood, it leads us to talk about life. God, we pray, Lord, that our leaders would hear godly wisdom. We pray, Lord, that mothers would feel loved today and that others in the church and their family would come alongside them when tough decisions are to be made. Well, God, we just pray, Lord, that our nation, in certain areas of our nation, we would repent and turn back to you. But God, this is an opportunity for us as a church to step up and love like we've never loved before. And so, God, I pray, Lord, that you would use us to do that. God, would you be with us today and teach us and encourage us as we open your word and hear from you today. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Let's dive into the word this morning. God uses a man named Asaph to give this word to God's people and to us. And in this psalm, Asaph is calling on God's people to see and to know the value of the next generation. And to make sure that we understand that we have a responsibility to intentionally teach and pour into the lives of the next generation. And so he gives us some godly instruction as to what we need to do when it comes to the next generation. And so this is for moms today. This is for grandparents, right? This is for dads. This is for spiritual parents. This is for the church. If you're a Christian, it's for us. When we think about the next generation, the first thing that God's word here tells us to do is this. We are to teach them God's word. We're to intentionally teach them God's word. Mom, you have the awesome privilege to teach your kids from the word of God. Right? Parents, we teach our children from God's word here at Authentic Life Church, in Kids Life, in our youth group. It's not just a place where we babysit or we just give them a place to hang out. There is a responsibility to teach them the word of God, to point them to Jesus. Look at verse 1 through 3. Asaph writes this, "My people," he's talking to God's people, "hear my instruction, listen to the words from my mouth. I will declare wise sayings. I will speak mysteries from the past, things we have heard and known and that our ancestors have passed down to us." Church, here's the reality. Before you and I can teach our kids or the next generation about God's word, we have to be taught. Right? We have to listen. We have to learn. We got to know the word of God. Asaph is reminding them that they have received this biblical instruction and they have heard and known things that were passed down to them. Scripture and the teachings of God's word had to have been taught to them at some point. Their mothers and fathers, their teachers taught them God's law and his word. And then they passed it down. And in a second, we'll see him say that we have to pass that down as well. But that's how that works. When we look at discipleship, teaching people how to follow God, 2 Timothy 2:2 says that you're to take what I have entrusted to you and entrust it to others who will then pass it down to others. So they passed it down. But here's the thing, as parents, as Christians, we begin by listening and learning and knowing God's word so that we can pass it down. Look at verse 4. It says, "We will not hide them from their children, but we will tell a future generation the praiseworthy acts of the Lord, his might, and the wondrous works he has performed. He established a testimony in Jacob and set up a law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children so that a future generation yet to be born might know." Look at what this says. We must not hide what we have learned. We must not hide God's word from the next generation. There is this idea that just said, no, I'm just going to let my kids kind of decide what they want to do. Church, that's not what God tells us to do. We're to teach them God's word. God commands those who have come before us to learn his word and then to teach us. Anybody run track in here? Right? Anybody know what? You guys see the relay races, right? Where you see the relay races, right? You got one runner, right? He learns how to run. He learns the proper techniques. He learns what to say when you pass that baton, right? I remember running track, and once we got to that point, we would yell blue, right? And when we say blue, the guy behind us stuck his hand out. We put it right in there, and they ran the race. Are you with me, church? Right? So that's what we're thinking about. The word of God is like that baton that's being passed from one generation to the next and to the next. I am grateful for those. I stand here today because of people that God has placed in my life, both in my family and in my church. Since it's Mother's Day, I'm thankful for my grandmothers on both sides. They were not afraid to talk to us about Jesus in the Bible. They lived an example faithfully for us. I think about my mother. Man, she did the same thing. Y'all, I am so grateful for my mom. Man, she's a godly mother. A mom who loves the Lord and His Word, and she and my dad faithfully passed it down to me. I'm thankful for a wife that follows Jesus and points our children to the Lord. I'm thankful for those in the church when I was growing up that learned from God's Word and then taught me and poured His Word into my life. Church, you are here today because someone told you and taught you, passed it down. But look at these verses. Verse 4, don't hide it, but tell the children. Tell it to the generations to come. Verse 5 says, teach it to the children. And what is it that we are teaching? We teach them, right, to look to Scripture, to know, the first one is this, who God is. Right, we teach them who God is. Asaph, in the first 8 verses, he's reminding us who God is. We don't have time unless moms don't want to eat lunch today, but the next 68 verses, right, Asaph is reminding them who God is. By the way, moms and everybody in here, moms and dads, I think this is a great exercise as you read the Bible. Open up the Word of God, whatever passage it is, and highlight and underline whatever it teaches you about God. And then pause and thank God for that and dive in deeper. What does it mean that you're loving? What does it mean that you're compassionate? What does it mean that you are just? Are you with me, church? I think there's a great thing for us to do. Underline when the Bible tells you who God is. Church, we're to teach the next generation that God is mighty, that He is our creator and sustainer and the giver of life starting in the womb. The Bible clearly teaches us that life begins in the womb by the hand of God. God took the time to knit you together in the womb. We teach them that God is perfect and that He is the ruler and leader of our lives. We teach them that He is Lord and the Savior. We teach them that He is who we live for to glorify Him. If you are saved, then God is your Father in heaven. We teach them who God is so that they can know God. And then we teach them what God has done. That's the next one on your notes. We teach them what He has done. Verse 4 says this, but will tell a future generation, look at this, the praiseworthy acts of the Lord, His might and the wondrous works He has performed. Later, if you have a chance to look through the rest of chapter 78, Asaph tells them over and over again all that God has done for them. He's saying, tell them how God protected you and provided for His people. Tell them how He created. Tell them about His miracles. Tell them what God has done. Church, the next generation not only needs to know who God is, but what He's done, what He's doing, and what He's going to do. Church, let them see from His Word who God is, what He's done, and then what He has said. We teach them what God has said. Church, make sure the next generation, make sure that they see you hearing what God says. Teach them what God says and make sure that what God says is evident in your life. Church, I'm just going to lay this out here. The old parenting style of do as I say, not as I do is kind of sinful, church. Well, not kind of, right? Like that's just not a good model. Right? And when we're walking with Jesus, it's one of those things that we just say, man, this is what God says to do, and look at how I do it in my life. Are you with me, church? I feel like I stepped on some toes and I'm okay with it. But I mean, it's just not the greatest model. We want to live that example. We want to live that example that we follow what God says. Church, there are a lot of teachings and opinions and saying out there that young people are hearing and buying into. But we're to teach them what God says. And here's what we're to teach them. That it's always true. No matter the year, no matter who's in office, no matter the political correctness, no matter the opinions of the day, the Bible we hold in our hands is truth and it will endure forever. Why the other so-called truths or ideas or opinions or ideologies of the world are ever changing. You don't believe me, turn on the news, record it, and then look a year later. The truths are going to change, church, right? Worldly truths are going to change, but God's word remains true always. when I think about what God has said. I think about Deuteronomy chapter 6, and Moses is teaching God's people who God is, what he's done, and what God says, and he's sharing with God's people. Here's what he says in verse 4. It's up on the screen. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. He tells them what to do. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and with all your strength. These words, all the words that he had given to him about God and his law, all these things I'm giving to you are to be in your hearts. Repeat them to your children. Guys, we teach our kids a lot of things, don't we? Right? But sometimes we put teaching them other things like sports or other things above teaching them God's word. The Bible here, church, God's word, here's the thing. God's word is the rock they'll always be able to stand on. Are you with me? God's word is the rock they'll always be able to stand on. When they are having a hard time, they'll be able to stand on the word of God. When they're looking for a future spouse, they'll be able to stand on the word of God. When they're going through trouble at work, they'll be able to stand on the word of God. When they lose a loved one, they'll be able to stand on the word of God. Whenever they're hearing things at school, they'll be able to stand on the word of God. When they are raising their own children, they'll be able to stand on the word of God. Teach our kids the word of God. Number two is this. We tell them stories. We teach them God's word. And number two is we teach them stories. Asaph says in verse 2, I will declare wise sayings. Other translations say, I will open my mouth in a parable. Parable is a story to teach, right? So I will declare wise sayings. I will declare parable stories. I will speak mystery stories from the past, things we have heard and known that our ancestors have passed down to us. When we look at these eight verses, we are to teach them and tell them stories of his strength and the wondrous things he's done. You look at the rest of chapter 78, you're going to see story after story of what God has done for his people. He tells stories of God rescuing his people from Egypt and stories about how he provided food for his people and how he held back the water to protect them and allow them to walk through. He's teaching them true stories from the Bible. We are to tell stories from the Bible. Moms, parents, Christians, think about this. Asaph is saying, keep telling them these true stories. And he talks about how these stories are passed down from generation to generation. And today, here's the cool thing. We sit down with our kids and our grandkids and the kids in our church, and we are telling them the same stories from God's word that have been told for thousands of years. There's a children's Bible that we handed out a few years ago in 2020, and it's called the Jesus Storybook Bible. By the way, if you would like one, I will get one for you. But it's on a kid's level, and it tells stories, church. It tells stories from God's word, from history, and how these stories all point us to Jesus. It's a great book. We teach them stories about Moses and the parting of the Red Sea and how God used David to defeat Goliath and how Jesus came as a baby and how all of that happened and how he lived a perfect life and died and rose again. We tell them those stories. We tell them stories about after Jesus went back to be with the Father. We tell them stories about how God continued to do amazing things that seemed impossible. So open God's word and tell them stories from the Bible. And church, don't miss this. Tell them stories about what God has done in your life. I love being able to tell my kids, Jessica and I love to be able to tell our kids things that have happened in our life and in our family, and we're able to say, this is what God did. This is what God did. You know what this does? It teaches them to look for how God is at work in their life and in the world around them. Let them know this is God at work. Teach them God's word and tell them true stories. Number three, we're also to warn them about sinfulness. That's the fun part about raising children, isn't it? Teach them about sinfulness. And by the way, if you say my child doesn't sin, I will pray for you, okay? I remember going and sharing the gospel with a girl across the street. It's a long story. I won't tell all of it because it's kind of messed up. But the mom came out and said, my daughter doesn't need to be saved because she's never sinned. Church, we don't have to teach our kids to sin, right? We have to teach them to do good. Are you with me, guys? If you've been a parent, you know what I'm talking about. So we're to warn them about sinfulness. Look at verse 7 and 8. We teach them and tell them so that they might put their confidence in God and not forget God's work. But listen, but keep his commands. Then they would not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not loyal and whose spirit was not faithful to God. Asaph is pointing out in verse 8 that some of their ancestors were stubborn and rebellious against God. They had hearts that were not faithful to God. And when you look throughout all of this chapter, Asaph reminds him over and over again of the sins and rebellions and unfaithfulness of some of those who had come before them. He also talks about the consequences of their sin. He reminds them that sin causes destruction. Sin's not just a little white lie, church. Amen, right? There's consequences. There's destruction. Sin is serious. And you know what the Bible tells us? That when we sin, we're rebelling against the God that created us and loves us and died for us. It's a big deal. I think we should do things like open God's word and teach them what Romans 6:23 says, that what we deserve because of our sin is death. It's separation from God. It separates us from God for eternity. Sin is why Jesus went to the cross. It's a big deal. Sin is why you need a Savior. Sin is what keeps us from being with God in heaven without Jesus. And Asaph is telling them, people have struggled with sin since Genesis. People have been tempted to sin for generations. And that they sinned when they didn't trust who God was, what He did, or what He said. So our kids, this next generation, they need to know the seriousness of sin and that we need a Savior. And that leads us to the next one, church. We teach them God's word, we tell them stories, we teach them about sin, and then we point them to Jesus and exalt Jesus. Throughout chapter 78, we see, this is crazy, just think about your own life in this. You see people sinning against God, rebelling against God, turning to idols, pursuing other things in life other than God. But then Asaph reminds them over and over again about how God is merciful and compassionate. As Asaph writes in this chapter, make sure you go home and read it if you can. But we see this. We see God being with His people and teaching His people. And then we see those people rebel against God. We see their consequences. But then we see God show His mercy. He rescues them. He saves them, church. And then God showed His greatest act of mercy. He showed His love and compassion for us when Jesus came. Church, it's amazing like this. Like a lot of times we don't really, it's hard to rectify, reconcile a relationship until the other person makes it right. But while we were still rebelling, while we were still sinning against God, even while we were still sinners, Jesus came and died for us and then rose again so that we could be rescued and saved from sin, so that we could be forgiven from sin and spend eternity with Jesus. And so moms, spiritual moms, parents, church as a whole, we've got to point the next generation to Jesus. We've got to show them and teach them how to exalt Jesus and praise Jesus and bow down to Jesus as Lord because of who He is and what He's done. When Jesus said that we're to go and make disciples and go and be His witnesses, you know what we do is we often think about someone in a foreign country or we think about a neglected group of people, and we are to go to them and tell them about Jesus. But don't neglect your first mission field, which is your family and your children. Tell them that Jesus came because He loves them. Tell them that Jesus came to forgive them and to have a relationship with them. He came to save us, which leads us to praise and exalt Him. Our kids and generations to come, guys, they've got to hear from us. They must hear the good news of Jesus from us, guys. This is what God calls us to do. Moms, spiritual moms, dads, Christians, children are a gift and a reward from God. And we've been entrusted by God to teach them who God is, to teach them what He's done and what He says. We're to tell them stories about His word and from our life. We're to warn them about sin and point them to Jesus. And then when we do that, here's what we're doing. The Bible says that He gives us some of these "so that" statements. Let me lay this out there for you. You can't save your children. We don't see that anywhere in Scripture. You cannot save your children. Only Jesus can save them. That's a thing between them and the Lord. But we can point them to the Savior. We can live a life that points them to Jesus. And when we do these things, when we teach them and tell them stories and talk about sin and point them to Jesus, we do that so that they know God and His Word. We do that so they know God and His Word. We want them to know God personally, and to know Him is to have a personal relationship with Him. One of the things we really focus on at Authentic Life is real relationships. We want them to know who God is, right? We want them to spend time with him. We want them to know who he is and that he loves them and what he's done for them and what he says. We want them to know that he can be their heavenly father. We want our kids to know God and to walk with God and not have this distant relationship with him. Too often we see God as the gray-haired guy ready to strike you down up in the sky, but they need to know that God is with them and that he loves them. And then we teach and tell and warn and point them to Jesus so they can trust God in his word. Church, I'm going to tell you, these right here are vital for us, because your kids are trusting someone. They're trusting someone. Verse 7 says, so that they might put their confidence in God. Notice it doesn't say put their confidence in their political party or in their sports team or in a news state. Are you with me, guys? Like, they're putting their confidence in God. To place their confidence is to put their hope in God, to put their trust in God. It's putting their decisions and their futures in God's hands. Church, moms, dads, show the next generation that you trust God in the way that you live. Show them from the Bible who God is, that they can trust him with their life and with their eternity. We want them to trust God above all else. When they see all the pleasures and treasures of this world, and there's a lot of them that we want to pursue, we need to teach them that God's word can be trusted. When they hear opinions and political correctness and worldly ideas and ideology, they need to know that they can trust what God and his word says. We teach them, we tell them, we warn them, we point them to Jesus so they can obey God and his word. Number three. Church, this is a life that's honoring to God. This is the life that we're made to live, to walk with God, to follow him and obey him. This is the life where we're not only hearers of God's word, but doers of what God's word says. This is why we trust God here in Psalm 78, so that the next generation knows God, trusts God, and obeys God. It seems simple, doesn't it? Teach them. Tell them stories. Warn them about sin. Point them to Jesus. Why? So that they can know God, trust God, and obey God. Church, look at Deuteronomy chapter 6 with me. Kevin, can we get that up on the screen here? Church, I'm going to ask you guys to read this with me. Are we ready? Verse 4, listen, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These words that I am giving you today are to be in your heart. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Bind them as a sign on your hand and let them be a symbol on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your city gates. Church, this is the life God calls us to. This is the life we were created to live with him, to know him, to love him above all else, to know and trust his word. And guys, God has entrusted us with the next generation to teach and live this out. Moms, what a great responsibility and privilege and honor that God has given you. Right? To all parents, to point our kids, the next generation, to Jesus so they may know him, trust him, and walk with him. And I just want to encourage you guys today. This is pretty simple. Know the word so that you can teach it. Tell them stories. Warn them about sin and point them to Jesus so they can know him, trust him, and obey him. Let's pray.